Cthulhu presents The Call of Cthulhu Campaign, Curse of Nineveh, by Mike Mason, Mark Laughlin, Scott Dorwood, Paul Fricker, Andrew Kenrick.
We did follow up on several leads at the British Library and elsewhere, but was I even here last session? Maybe not.
Maybe you didn't have power.
Ah, excellent.
No, you were traveling. You were traveling.
And I was traveling. I was traveling without power. Yeah, okay. Well, somebody else carry on then.
I would say that Maud wakes in the hospital with a memory of trying to entrap we decided a cunning plan to follow our followers and catch them. We procured something heavy and made as if we had taken out the statue of Naboo from the bank. And we lured them towards the museum, and then there was a bunch of spotting and sneaking, and we lured them into an alley where they held up some members of the party while other members of the party snuck up behind them. Maud bashed one in the head and he turned around and shot her.
Ooh, that's unfair.
Yes, but I believe that I think that it was Heathcliff who shot and killed one of the others. And then the really gallant Oswald and the brave Kitty took Maud to the hospital, and left Connor and Montgomery, and I don't know who else started to question the remaining cultist, I think. And he self-immolated, just burned to a crisp.
Ooh.
I don't know that we learned anything beyond that.
Hired by someone wealthy.
Yeah, and he was very afraid of him.
Right, so maybe not a cultist, just
maybe a thug.
Thug, yeah, hired hand.
Yeah, I think that's right. Those of you who were there would definitely have felt like he was more of a hired hand. Yes, he had sort of more of a criminal aspect than that that gleam in the eyes that you might associate with a cultist. What he told you was, "Oh, we were after the artifacts at all. I'm not gonna tell you who paid me, but." You know, we're just looking for these things, and we were paid a lot of money to sort of follow you around. And at some point, he began to shake, and his body just spontaneously burst into fire. The other thing you sort of confirmed is that Archie goes up the curator. Or assistant curator died, was working late at night, and one or more assailants sort of ran into him. It seemed less of a targeted strike as compared to Brightman, who was absolutely, you know, tied up and stabbed multiple times with a note being put into his mouth, which seemed much more deliberate and angry.
Right. There's definitely a juxtaposition between the ritually killed ones and the ones who are just a death of opportunity.
Can we identify three factions or two that seemed like, I know, like you said, there was the ritually killed one and the death of opportunity ones, but did this mob one seem like a third one? I think we figured that out or had that discussion at the end of last session, but I'm not sure I remember. Well, I'm sure I don't remember.
A couple of sessions ago, Kitty was sitting at a table and sort of realized that there were really just two ways in which people were being killed. One of which is more sort of brutal gangster style, like clubbing somebody on the head with a piece of rock is primitive and brutal. Whereas there's another group out there with sharp pointy knives that are slicing their victims up.
Didn't we just hit somebody in the head with a rock?
Well, yes. So you're less cultisy than you are Bruto. So good, I guess. And the last thing we got before we ended was that Roger received a message that Theodore Price would like to meet with you all in the morning at the club.
Oh, yes. The guy from who gave us the statue and ran off with Ned.
Yes. So, yes, it's the next day. Some of you spent the night in the hospital, either because you were grievously wounded or because you wished to stand guard, perhaps.
Yeah, to not have the grievously wounded become even further so.
Exactly. And it's the next day. Are you all meeting at the club? Do some of you have other things you wanted to do?
I will happily rejoin this beat-up crew at the club.
If they release me from the hospital, I will convalesce there.
They certainly do release you from the hospital. You know, you took a gunshot, but you're hearty stock, so...
We'll make sure Maud gets to the club, and I'm sure she needs a stiff drink.
Yes, because that's what you should do when you've taken a gunshot wound soon afterwards to start drinking again.
I mean, at this time, probably they would recommend that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. They probably gave her some morphine to take home with her, too.
Yep, here's a goodie bag of some morphine and a little couple barbiturates, and make sure you smoke your cigars and
that's drink good for the lungs.
Mm-hmm.
Dame Agatha, you had another uncomfortable night. Again, it's hard to remember what the dream was about. You have some sense this time of being out in the desert, maybe. The wind sort of kicking up all around you, and you see a figure ahead, but as you get closer, the figure gets larger, not in terms of the normal proportions of you see something far away, it seems small, and you get closer, and it's normal. Like, it seems to be growing as you get bigger, but as you get to the point, you know, the wind's wishing around that you might be able to understand what it is. You wake up.
Okay.
No effect. You're almost getting used to this, but it's definitely, you haven't had these sort of dreams before in the past. And at the club is Theodore Raymond Price. As you arrive, the Sykes directs you to one of the meeting rooms, and he is in there by himself, sort of drinking a small pot of tea. I don't know when Roger gets there. Roger's staying overnight. His place was sort of tossed and turned the other night. Did he stay overnight at the club?
No, I believe the cleaning crew had it sorted out yesterday.
They did, but I didn't know if you said, that seems like an unsafe place to be overnight.
No, of course not. I don't
believe that would be the case. All right. Extra wide bed. So comfortable.
Well, I would be at the club at the usual time for breakfast.
Mm-hmm. First breakfast. Yep. sort of ushers you all in. Is anybody not going to the meeting? Does anybody have something else they wanted to do?
I will go to the meeting.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And as soon as you're all in, he will close the door and he says, I'm sorry for having disappeared so quickly. I just felt like I needed to get Neve someplace safe. We'd be very interested, though, now that she is well settled, to answer any questions you have, and perhaps you can update me on what you've learned. We can either do this in character or out of character, your preferences.
There's a lot of murder that follows anybody who gets messed up with this, Mr. Price.
Well, besides Mr. Glossop and Lord Brightman, have there been others?
Give him the list?
Yes.
Oh. Huh. McAvoy, I actually met him once at a conference. Seemed like a good man. Huh. Well, there is, look at this. Huh. Oh, you talked to Albright, did you? Oh, not a good man. Hope you weren't inconvenienced by him.
Well,
remind me, did you go on one of these digs, Mr. Price?
I did not. I didn't have the opportunity. They were looking for people with very specialized knowledge, and I tend to be more of a generalist.
See.
I would have dearly loved to have been involved in the first one, and deeply happy that I wasn't involved in the second one, given some of the events that seem to have come out of that.
Indeed.
So, Theodore, what...
Oh, Teddy. You can call
Teddy. Teddy, of course. In your opinion, what should we do with this statue? Misfortune just seems to follow it.
Well, I mean, I have no better idea than you. I assumed you would either hide it away or give it back to the museum. I don't know which is better. Obviously, giving it to the museum takes it off your hands, but on the other hand, things seem to disappear at the museum. So, I mean, I suppose I could take it and take it out of the city, but
other than a loss to research and science and so forth, what is the problem with having these people, whoever they are, end up with the statue?
He sort of pauses. It's one of those moments where I guess I never really thought about just giving it up. I assumed they wanted it for nefarious purposes. Have you told him the whole story of all the things that have happened? I mean, I'm sure he would have asked after Maud's arriving with perhaps bandages and a cane of some sort. I mean, have you told him all the things?
I have no objection to. I guess that's more up to Maud.
Yes, I think that, you know, we tell all of it about the people being followed and watched.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I suppose if you wanted to just give it up, walk down the street holding it, and the first person approach you, just give it to them. I don't believe in curses. I don't believe in things of that sort. It's probably valuable, and people have died for it. I suppose, out of loyalty to my friend, I feel like it would have died in vain if he smuggled out the piece and then we just gave it back to whoever might have killed him. But I'm at a loss of what to do next with it.
And it seems that if one group is willing to murder for it, another group is going to stick it in a dusty basement for the next 50 years until they get around to writing note cards for it, then I'm not really sure why it's worth anybody more dying for it.
Well, I don't think I want to die for it, but I certainly don't want to hand it over to murderers and thieves. It just seems, yes, like aiding the enemy and, you know, poor Lord Brightman and Nev scared to death and just bad business.
Yes, well, she'd no longer be scared. We'd no longer
sort of
have
perks
it
up
bothering
at
us.
That. Oh, well, that's true. Neve would need to hide anymore. He is absolutely not there's no psychology role needed here. He absolutely has no idea what the right thing to do with it is. He is entirely
Well, I think we have no idea either, so
yes, well that's fine. I'm just letting you know that we're not gonna do the magical NPC says, here's what you do.
Well then what you see you get out.
No. Pretty much, yeah. Carry on.
What you asked to speak with us? What were you just wanted to know what has happened? You didn't.
Right? Indeed, I guess you're indeed.
Looking
I just
for
just,
information.
Yes. I felt bad about the way I disappeared. I know that one of you reached out to try to contact me, but I didn't feel safe doing so. But I feel like Nev's in a safe location now, and I could come back here without worrying about compromising her safety.
And has anything happened with either of you? Has there been any follow-ups?
Not that I've noticed, but I don't believe we were followed. I think that it sort of looks a little chagrined by this. I think that whoever was tailing her turned their attention to you all.
Yes, I think so too.
Connor, you're a archivist, a curator. What do you think we should do with the piece?
Well, we definitely should not give it to these ruffians. I have to say it does belong in a museum, but it doesn't seem safe at the moment. So, I think we are the best the best keepers at the moment.
Well, maybe we do give it back to the museum, but just make them aware that they must have high security vaults and things in there for all valuable
items. If we give it back to the museum, we're just going to endanger the people that works there.
Well, aren't we currently endangering the bank staff?
I don't trust Albright. I mean, he seems to have been the most involved in this, and yet he seems to have no troubles whatsoever. I mean, it would seem like he would be the first one with his throat slit. And there he sits at a museum surrounded by these things, easy access to steal anything and everything that he wants.
But surely he could have just taken it if he wanted it.
Well, I think we know that several things have been taken. It was just on the list. And it was given to poor Nev before he got to it.
But didn't he already know about it?
Wait, Albright's not at the museum. It's Lawton that's at the museum.
Oh, sorry. We're getting confused, aren't we? Yes.
Yeah, no, it took me a second. It's Sir Reginald Thompson.
Oh, yeah, okay, Thompson. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Yeah. And I agree. I was about to say something about the same. I'm not sure being a lord. Well, he's not a lord, but I'm not sure being one of the better class qualifies you as a better person.
What an outrageous opinion.
My humble vote on this whole situation is just to be keepers of the statue until we find out who is actually behind all this killing. And once we help the police put an end to it, then we can give it back to the museum. That's my vote.
And I suppose we've seen no ill effects having it nearby. How's Agatha looking?
Yeah. A little sleepy, but you know.
Have you shared your experiences?
I talked to somebody about the first night of bad dreams, but nothing since then.
Stiff upper lip and all.
Yeah.
In character, I'm kind of, what do we do now? Where's the plot? Is it going to find us soon?
That's in character?
That's in character? That's out of character, I hope. But.
Out of character, in character, a bit of both.
Yes, well. Raymond Price will at some point stand up and say, well, I leave this all in your capable hands. I hope that I can call upon you. I suspect I will need you in the future. I don't think all the matters have been resolved.
What makes you say that?
Just there are whispers within my community of things happening. My community of those who are interested in historical matters. But I have.
But you don't care to share them. Back.
Nothing is set in stone yet. But I promise you, as soon as I know more, I will. I just need to make some inquiries. But I will assuredly let you know as soon as I know more information about this.
Okay.
Let me just ask, does the group have any consensus on what you're going to do with the statue?
Sure doesn't sound like it.
Keep it in.
Perhaps we should tank for now.
What was that, Jim?
Perhaps we should take a vote.
Ooh.
That is how you English do things, yes? Democracy and all that.
Well, hardly.
The views expressed by players of Skype of Cthulhu do not necessarily.
Well, what are we voting on? What are our options?
That out of character, I do think that Dame Agatha should be talked out of giving the statue to the. To the evil cultist, but, you know, maybe that would be fun. I don't know.
Well, the options are give it to the cultists, give it to the museum, leave it in the bank, or just destroy it.
It's possible, yeah.
Well, there is another option. It's give it to the cultist or give it to the criminals.
Right.
There's two different groups out there.
Or use it. You know, do some real research and figure out how to raise.
Well, that's just becoming the cultist then.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I'm going to have to rewrite some of the book, but that's fine. Play agency and all that. What?
Well, I think giving it to the cultists is straight out. Sorry, that's just...
Yes, I mean, I think it was merely a hypothetical, but...
But on the other hand, if your concern is to stop the killing, that would seem to be the best course to do so.
So one thing I think we seem to have figured out is that they they seem to have an awareness of, well, no, because they just kept searching places, didn't they? What was our conclusion there? Was that they?
I think
brute force search anyone associated.
Yeah.
Yes, and maybe one group just does things differently than the other. It's just so strange. Or maybe the cultists are also using thugs. I mean, we say that they're two groups, but it could be just one group using two different means, and you know, the bank seems relatively safe. I mean, bank heists are known, but rare.
Have any of our group been, burgled?
Seems yes. There was an attempted burglary Mr. Schindler, but I don't know if we know about it.
Did Roger have the statue at the time? I can't quite remember.
He did. No. They just turned over his place.
Right. But no one else has had that happen to them yet. They haven't attacked the club. As far as we're aware, they haven't attacked the bank. I just wonder if it's a matter of time before they do.
They did try to get into the bank, but the bank would not pass over the key. And,
yes, going up to a bank and saying, excuse me, please give me other people's property is maybe a first attempt.
So, to me, the bank sounds like best option to keep the statue, but not just one. Maybe we can change the location of the statue so, you know, we lose track of where it is.
I don't think we can rely on it forever because they seem to, you know, they're willing to murder. I don't think bank robbery would necessarily be.
Yeah, but in the meantime, we can try to find out who these people actually are. You know, maybe we can stop them.
All right, so you're leaving in the bank for the foreseeable future. Perhaps people will move it around every now and then, but the ultimate location of the statue is in a bank somewhere.
Seems reasonable.
It does.
Unless we melt it.
Well, no. You haven't. Well, Roger did call things for a vote, so perhaps you should adhere to Roger.
Why? Why should we adhere to Roger just because he's calling for a vote? It makes no sense.
Let's hold a vote on whether we should hold a vote.
Yes, we should vote on whether to vote or not, exactly.
Absolutely.
I just don't want Roger
democracy.
To throw his weight around.
Oh.
But no, I think, I don't know if anyone objects to the bank solution. That's a question.
It's probably the safest option for now. I can't think of anything better, but I'm just voicing caution about the idea that it's absolutely safe there.
Yes, I think that's a good caution. Eventually someone will rob the bank.
Okay, so it's in the bank. We're now going to do the whirly lines. It is the 25th of October. Those playing at home, it was July 13th when we started the session. Dame Agatha, please roll a d6 and lose that much sanity.
5.
Good. It's not all at once. It's over the course of the months. It slowly just starts eating at you. This thing, and every now and then you'll find yourself out for a walk and find yourself without really noticing you're doing it, walking near the bank where it is that has it in. And you'll sort of snap yourself out before you get there, but you'll sort of, it's mostly in the early in the morning where you're still a little groggy from your dreams or whatever, you'll tell the, you know, if you take a cabbie or something, you'll give them directions that takes you by the bank, even though it's a little bit longer type thing. Excellent. And you all receive a note from Teddy Raymond Price asking you all to meet him at the Wentworth Club that evening. Does anybody not want to do that?
Well, nothing bad has ever come of meeting Teddy. So.
Good old Teddy.
I was going to get my hair done, but okay.
Yes, it is October. It is somewhat chilly out, so this time when you meet with Teddy, room he calls you into is a roaring fire. He's sitting in a high back leather chair, cup of tea, got a plate of muffins on the toasted muffins on the table for you all. Roger, you'll note that whenever you order toasted muffins, these are those sort of toasted muffins. He will greet you all individually, exchange mild pleasantries and whatnot. But he will at some point sort of get everybody sitting down in a chair. I'm wondering if you all are still interested in assisting me. I have a matter that relates to a friend of mine that I think may tie into some of your earlier investigations on my behalf. I'm wondering if you've seen this morning's edition, and he sort of nods to a copy of the Times. Do any of you regularly read the Times in the morning?
Hard to imagine not doing so.
Yeah, I can't imagine anybody wouldn't. Kind of uncivilized beast do you think we are?
Go ahead if you read the Times and give me a luck roll.
Normal success.
Spot on.
Exactly. Same here. 54 on 54.
I think Kitty mostly reads the social pages.
All right. Anybody get better than a regular success?
I have a hard success.
You know, it's funny. As you're thinking about it, there was a murder that happened midnight on the 23rd. It's hard to remember the name of all that, but you remember thinking that it was unusual because people seem to notice the fight, but there's no real details over who did it. It's an unknown assailant, but it's just sort of random act of violence, and perhaps Montgomery, maybe your cultist instincts kicked in at that point. There was just something caught your attention. For the rest of you, Raymond Price says, let me tell you of a certain matter. A couple nights ago, a Alan Tilbury Pine was murdered while taking the night air in North Kensington. The police are currently making inquiries, but they have no prime suspect. Now, crimes are not uncommon in this city, but this one happened to take place on the very same street that a friend of mine lives on. Now, that same night, this friend of mine, a man of impeccable standing, was also a victim of a crime. Sort of looks around, there's nobody here but you all, the door is closed, but he still lowers his voice a little bit. My friend is a private collector of antiquities and fine objects and has a modest but valuable collection with his home behind locked windows and doors. He was awakened that evening by an unusual sound coming from his display room. He went to the door, tested it. It was still locked. Went back and got the key. When he went in, gained entry, he was just horrified. This is a scene of devastation. It was as if some whirlwind had come in and smashed the room. Ancient and rare artifacts were broken and strewn about in a fine display case smashed. Their component parts seemingly used to form some twisted artistic expression. He checked the rooms. They were both locked, firmly closed. This is essentially the quintessential locked room mystery. And he will definitely look at Dame Agatha as he says this.
Fascinating.
And I've invited you because this is as seemingly inexplicable as it is, it's not the first of a kind. In fact, prior to my friend's break-in, further incidents have come to my attention. Well, my friend is not able to go to the police and is requiring a discreet class of investigation. I know you all will be sensitive to needs of private collectors who don't always remember to ask for the papers associated with the artifacts that they obtain. Some foreign governments and certainly our own institutions frown upon such private collections, and my friend, as well as the other gentlemen concerned, don't want to bring in the authorities for seemingly being, you know, it might lead to some other questions that they don't want to really go down with. So I just feel like somehow this is associated with our earlier conversations, because all of my other two men I know of all collect Assyrian art antiques. And it's my understanding that they have some from the previous Campbell Thompson digs.
Do you know of others who might have these things? Because it seems like you have a duty to warn them.
I do not. I have to say that that's an excellent thought there, Maud. Maybe if you could find out who was distributing these to collectors, find the source of whoever was taking them from the dig and giving them private collectors, perhaps they could shine some light on this for you. I agree wholeheartedly, though, if these are being sought after, then it's, as you say, our duty to warn others.
So I'm sorry, you have several friends who are collectors.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you have warned them, presumably.
He looks a little chagrined. No, I
you're asking us to warn your friends about this.
The friends I know of have already experienced the robberies and whatnot. There was no violence to their person.
It's all okay.
But I'm asking you to look into the robberies, perhaps find who did it. Though
of course.
Again, it's an inexplicable mystery as far as I can tell. But
not surprising.
Going to trust your wits in these matters more than my own.
Was anything taken from your friends, either of them, in these break-ins?
No, that's the thing.
So just vandalism and creation of weird art.
Well, I assume that the murder that happened right down the street from my friend's house is also associated with it.
And your friend, who you will name at some point, does not know, I presume, is Tealbury Pie.
No. As far as I know, there's no connection between the two. But I'm happy to give you his name as long as I can assure him that.
It will be very difficult to do anything at all without going to his house and knowing his name.
I couldn't agree with you more, in and out of character, and yet I just need to ask for your discretion. If you need to speak to the police about things, that's fine. Just you could avoid bringing up the name of my friend. He hasn't reported his robbery to the police, so...
No, stolen artifacts and all, I understand.
Yes, I think...
That was a politer term. Hmm.
Well, my sense of adventure has returned since I'm no longer limping.
Oh, yes, you can be up to full hit points again. Enough time has passed. You didn't already do that.
I mean, a good mystery is certainly hard to beat. I'll be most intrigued.
Has been rather dull without looking over my shoulder every moment of every day.
Yes.
Sensing a general acceptance from the group, he says, my friend's name is Andrew Noble. He resides at 68 Oxford Gardens in North Kensington. And I will let him know when it's convenient for you to visit him to expect you.
Well, likely this afternoon.
Oh,
he will be ready. I mean, the sooner we get there, otherwise they will undoubtedly clean up.
Oh, I've told him to leave the room exactly as it was. Don't,
Wonderful.
I was anticipating exactly that you'd want to see things as they were. Pauses in case you have any questions.
Do we recognize this name, Noble?
Well, if you want to give me a credit rating.
Okay, let's see. Credit rating.
Yes.
Yes, hard success.
So this makes some sense to both of you. Maud, you will have recognized his name from reading the business pages. And Kitty, you will recognize it from the society pages. He is a financier of one of the titans of the industry of that sort, but enough of one that he appears occasionally in both of those sections of the paper. And with that, you have some understanding of why he may not want to have the paper, particularly some of the papers of the time, having information about his private collection and its provenance.
And this name, Ellen Tealsbury Pye. Do we recognize that name?
With your credit ratings and with your rolls, and actually any roll, no, you would not have recognized his name.
Is there anything in the paper about her?
Certainly the sort of thing that game that gives you entirely unnecessary journals would also provide that.
Battered and lifeless body. Kensington resident. Pine. Pine is much less appetizing than pie.
Oh, sorry about that.
What about it? I'm not a silent.
Maybe you could read it out loud for those playing.
The battered and lifeless body of a North Kensington resident was discovered by a patrolling police officer close to midnight on 23rd October. The victim, later named as Mr. Tilbury Pine of St. Quentin Avenue. That changes everything. Was believed to have been taking an evening stroll along Oxford Gardens when he was set about by an unknown assailant. Mr. Tilbury Pine suffered numerous blows to the head and is believed to have fallen to the curb, whereupon he received further assaults to his person, culminating in his death. Kensington police are calling for witnesses to come forward who may have noticed an altercation on Oxford Gardens between 11 and 12 o'clock on the 23rd October. I just assumed Ellen was a, but of course Ellen probably used to be a man's name as well. Tilbury Pine. Okay. Well, that is, I wonder how they could have gotten in bad with the, they just saw something, or
happened. Interesting.
Well, maybe some of us should follow up on Mr. Tilbury Pine, and others should go visit Mr. Noble. And Roger can drink tea.
Roger, the Nero Wolf of the group, contemplate his...
It's time for bourbon, not tea.
Always time for bourbon.
It is, by the way, in the evening time here.
It is? Oh, I thought this was a morning meeting. Okay. Well, in that case, we will not go this afternoon if evening.
Yes. So the next day, what are people planning on doing?
I would definitely like to go to Mr. Noble's house and see what can be discovered. Mm-hmm.
Kitty?
I think I will, go to Noble's house as well.
Connor?
Noble, please.
All right. Oswald?
Ready to accompany anyone wherever they want to go. So if we need people to go elsewhere than Noble's, then I'll go there.
We could just all go to Noble's.
Absolutely. Montgomery?
Yeah, I will go as well to Noble.
Roger?
I will invite Detective Brinslow to lunch.
Perfect. Maud?
Do you want to have another person with you, Roger, or...
I fail to see it necessary, but your companionship, Miss Throckmorton, is always appreciated.
You're always so charming.
Someone didn't improve their charm.
It was such an invitation. How can I say no?
Yeah, we'll start at the bottom of the list next time. And so with that, Mr. Nichols, where is our big game hunter going to go? We'll be having lunch with Roger and Maud, or off with the others to visit Noble? Or some other thing?
Well, with such amazing choices and company for lunch, I think I might as well accompany Maud. To maybe stop her from stabbing. Yeah, I think we'll go to lunch. I'll stick with Mom.
Well, let's do lunch
recovering
first,
a little bit and want to make sure. I don't think Jim's character is going to be very quick on the draw with his own proclivities if something were to happen. So, yeah, I'll go to lunch.
Yeah, let's do that first then. Yes, the detective receives your summons. And, always happy to come to the club. He comes in. He nods at Sykes. Finds out Bluffstone isn't there, so he doesn't sort of make it. He sits down to have lunch with the three of you and says, "Well, I haven't heard from you in quite some time. How are you all keeping up? No more mischief, I hope."
Quite well. And yourself, Detective?
Oh, doing well. Doing well. It's been a somewhat quiet summer, although I have to say the last month or so has been just an uptake in minor crimes, but not nearly as a nearly the murders that we experienced during the summertime. So that's well, in the most recent one. But otherwise, it's been relatively quiet. And you, Miss Doc Morton?
You know, the heat does agitate people, but I'm doing quite well. But you mentioned a recent murder.
Oh, you probably saw it in the paper. It's up in North Kensington there. It's another random crime, but it happened in the neighborhood of some people that have a certain amount of money and influence. So, of course, the heads of the top are wanting to people to look into it, make it a top priority and such.
Yeah, yes, I think we did see it in the paper.
Well, you seem like the sort who keeps abreast of events. And you, Mr. Nichols, how are you?
I'm well. Doesn't seem like you think that murder's a priority from the tone.
Well, I mean...
What are your thoughts on the matter?
Every murder is a priority, but the idea...
Well, that's the answer I would think a policeman would give. Or
yes, but...
But what do you really feel?
Well, that's what I'm... It's every murder is a priority, but shifting resources in the way that they're doing. I mean, they have a detective and a constable assigned to this case. So they're not out doing all the other cases out there. They're doing just this one. It's a lot of resources that others have to pick up the slack for as they focus in on it.
It did sound rather brutal. Beaten. Falls to the ground, continues to beaten. There's something
else. Yes, no, it's certainly violent, and but I wouldn't want to disrupt the lovely lunch we're having, Miss Thornton. If Mr. Are you a Miss or Mrs. By the way,
do
you
ever Mrs. Yes,
Thornton. I wouldn't want to disturb disturb our pleasant luncheon with some of the things I've seen. Man's brutality to man is not to be underestimated. Anyway, is there some reason you called me here, Mr. Schneider? Schindler, sorry.
Well, merely to catch up, of course, first and foremost, Detective. It has been a while. And second, to talk about this murder in Kensington.
Well, I don't know much about the specifics. I'd be happy to, I'd be happy to make contacts for you. I mean, the detective involved is Jack Billington. He's a bit overworked, and he can be difficult to deal with. But you know, he's obviously in charge of the case. You might want to look into Constable Caff.
With a K?
With a C, like a small cow.
Ah.
Seems to sort of take a certain delight in describing this man. In fact, he it's a bit on the portly side. Not the sort of man you'd want in hot pursuit of a criminal on foot.
Rather the sort of constable one might invite to lunch.
Oh, well, only if that lunch included drinks, is what I would say to you.
Pass the bourbon decanter.
You might have better luck waiting outside the North Kensington station. There's a pub more or less across the street. I think at the end of any shift, you would be able to find the constable there. It's a mid-40s, large nose. Matches physique. But buy him a drink, and I'm sure he'll tell you anything you want to know. We make a point of trying not to tell him anything that we wouldn't want being out to the public, but... he sees a lot more than we think he does.
Well, there you go, Mr. Nichols. You have something. You have something to do this evening.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Detective. You seemed to indicate that this murder was particularly brutal. Are there
Any additional details you can provide? We can ask Mrs. Throckmorton to step outside so as not to offend her delicate sensibilities.
No, what I understand is that he suffered a head injury, and then someone just beat him to death. That papers sort of make it seem like he received received further punches, but it was a savage beating. It went the amount of violence inflicted on the person went far beyond what was necessary to kill him.
What was Mr. Tilsbury Pine's line of work? Do you know?
I don't. You would need to ask specifically. You'd need to ask one of the two involved in the case.
Sounds more like a murder of passion or of some, or potentially some psychotic of the amount of severity.
Yes, and I don't know if they've gained enough information to know which of those passed, but that would be my guess as well, Mr. Nichols.
It seems like there's been quite a bit of murdering going around lately. Any potential theories that they might be related?
Well, it's a large city with a large number of people, not all of whom wish to make their life, work through normal, honest means. So, I mean, we've no particular uptake, but we have seen there's something in the air. There's something in the air.
Yeah, I mean, out of character, it's, you've got someone being stabbed 37 times, and you've got another person being beaten into a bloody pulp. Somewhat related.
I agree, and those seem to be outliers, but I will say that there have been an increase in assaults lately.
Really?
Yes, it does feel like more people are being assaulted on the streets for no apparent reason.
Is there a pattern, or, this detective stuff is always so interesting?
Not that we can see. Obviously, if we could see a pattern, we would do so. But I do know that the press is starting to get wind of it. So I wouldn't be surprised if there were starting to be more articles about it, particularly among the more sensational papers. Probably not the Times, but there's other papers out there that would enjoy...
Oh, the Scoop. The Scoop.
Well, enjoy sort of the sensationalism of it all. It makes our life much harder when the public is concerned about things because papers have decided that's the way to sell their rags. You can talk to him a little bit longer. He'll have a pleasant lunch, and he's happy to share stories. He, there's always violence in the city. He doesn't, he himself, if you brought it up, doesn't necessarily connect it to anything that's happened before. Mr. Nichols sort of even forming that connection between what happened last summer and this most recent murder, he takes note of it. He seems to be the sort that is okay with getting new information from outside sources, somewhat evidenced by the fact that he came to you all and said, I'd be happy to unofficially help you. But yes, doesn't necessarily think there's a connection. There is. With that, I think we will switch over to the other group. Andrew Noble lives in a very affluent neighborhood. He has a three-story townhouse, impeccably managed landscaping. You arrive at the door. He has a greeted by clearly a valet butler sort. Yes, yes, you're expected, Mr. Mr. Noble will see you in the sitting room. And sit down. Do you may offer you any coffee, tea, anything of that sort?
Yes, some tea would be lovely, thank you.
Excellent. He sort of slides out of the room. And a man walks in. He's in his mid-40s. Kitty, you will recognize him because, of course, you've seen the society pages where he's been mentioned. He's got a nice, luxurious head of hair, a broad wax mustache. Looks to be a little tired, little bags under his eyes, but happy that you are all here. Yes, please, please. He'll introduce himself to all of you individually. Well, I wish to thank you. I appreciate your willingness to help out in this matter, and I'm here to help you in any way you see fit. Entirely at your disposal. Yes, yes.
What can you tell us?
Well, I've been out for most of the day. And my wife is in France right now, and I was making travel plans to meet her. And I got home, and Withams, and at this point, Withams, you assume is Wisdom, sort of slides in with a tray and a pot of tea and some biscuits.
Sets wife, them down. How disappointing.
What's that?
I said, wife, how disappointing.
Oh. yes, Wisdom had prepared a fine meal. After the meal, I went to bed early, around 9 o'clock or so, and then I was planning on traveling the next day. Before I went to bed, I went into my room with my collection. I checked to make sure the windows are secure and the door was locked. Witham nods his head as if that was, the routine. And around midnight or so, I heard crashing sounds coming from across the hall. I went over. It was locked. I got the key. I unlocked the door, and it was just in a state of devastation. But there's nobody in there. I don't know how they could have possibly got out without me seeing it.
But then, wow. What about the collection itself? What does it contain?
Various Egyptian and Assyrian artifacts. Sort of pausing here, you get the sense he wants you to sort of doesn't want to offer you more than perhaps you might know already. Like, you should. He wants to be friendly, but doesn't necessarily
want to be prodded a little bit here.
Yeah. You get the sense that, like, he doesn't know how much you know.
I don't know how much I know either.
There you go. Perfect.
But I will ask him specifically if there is anything related to. Is it Naboo? I believe it's Naboo.
Naboo. Well, I did recently get a series of the cuneiform tablets from a dig in that part of the world.
One of Brighton's digs?
Thompson. Thompson's.
Thompson. Ah, yes.
I think Lord Brighton is the person who passed away. But yes. Yes, one of his digs I was able to secure. It's a fairly ordinary piece in the way these things go, but obviously anything from that time period is a delight to own such things, you know.
And you still own it?
I own the pieces of it. It was one of the pieces that was smashed.
Destroyed, interesting.
Oh. Shocking. Had the cuneiform tablets been deciphered?
I was just about to hire someone to do it, but I do have an etching of it.
Very good.
Be happy to share that with you if you wish.
Who can was we, can we going see the to room? Decipher them?
I hadn't. Decided that yet. I assumed I would find somebody associated with the museum to do it for me.
So you hadn't talked to anybody about this yet? That's my question, I guess.
No. There was no one I had not mentioned to any outside party that I had it. So you wish to see the room?
Of course.
Please. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Of course. I have, as instructed by Teddy, I've left it exactly as it was. He leads you up to the third floor. The room is, he takes out a key that's attached to his watch chain, starts to unlock the door, and he says,
how many copies of that key are there?
There is only one. Witham has certainly said to me that if I was ever to lose my watch, it'd be a bad day. But I absolutely have one copy of the key. So he opens the door. The room is in absolute chaos. You can tell that there was, elegant glass panel display cabinets. They've been chipped and the glass is smashed. As if a hammer had been taken to them. The antiques there. Connor, this is a travesty. There are clearly, tablets of clay and papyrus and statuettes that you... Even without sort of doing a long glance at them, recognize that they have a certain age to them, and they've just been smashed. Statues looked as if they'd thrown against the wall. The papyrus as if it'd just been torn up and thrown on the floor like confetti. The wallpaper had been torn up, and on the wall you can see it spells out the phrase "Free Me."
Free me.
If you look at the notes, you'll see a graphic.
Oh, look at that. That's cute.
Thank you. Not mine, but.
That is quite something.
So, did you say something? Did I miss? Did you say earlier that there was something had been made out of the pieces that had been smashed up?
It's just this words on the wall here. There were
right. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought there was some sort of sculpture or something made of the.
Teddy had clearly sort of suggested that, but right. You can now see that with seems to be more just sort of a free hand.
Was anything taken? Can you tell?
No. I've looked multiple times now. I can't find anything that was taken. Again, I wanted to leave things as it was, so I've sort of tried to figure out where the pieces were. But as far as I can tell from my notes, nothing's been taken. Everything's just been destroyed. It's as if someone came in here with the intention just to make a mess out of everything that I spent so many years collecting.
Yes.
And there's no... The door is the only entrance to this room?
There are two windows.
Two windows, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess inspect the windows, inspect the locks, all that good all right. stuff.
So that's what Dame Agatha is doing. Kitty, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I would have wanted to see if there's any sign that anyone had come in through the windows, if there's any activity outside.
Sure. Connor? Being strong and silent.
Weeping in the corner.
Connor,
the,
sick. yes.
All right. Montgomery? Are you doing anything in
particular? Yeah. So do we have the tablet here? So I can look at the writing, try to make sense of it. I know it looks like a puzzle of broken in pieces, but can I try to assemble it and see if I can make sense of it?
You have the etching of the tablet, so you have the writing, I think you said.
Yes, okay. Yes. And he will reach into a drawer, open it up, and say it's one of the things that I suspect because it was in the drawer they didn't do anything with. He will pull out a it's clear that someone put a piece of paper on and use the pencil to sort of get an etching. Do you have any language skills?
I do have Latin and yeah.
Latin yeah. is a little too far in the future for
yeah.
this piece here.
I know a bit of ancient Egyptian, if I can take a look at that as a sound. It's in the neighborhood of the world, I guess.
Mm. I do have a little bit of Egyptian as well.
Mm.
Go ahead, Connor, and give me an archaeology role, I guess.
Okay. Ooh, not archaeology, maybe.
what would be a skill you would use to draw upon your expertise as an archivist of ancient
things? Oh, archival preservation, of course.
Oh, well, then that would be a much better thing to roll against.
That would be the one, yes. Ah, that would be the one to fail, even though it takes a very high number to do so.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not Egyptian, you know that. It's there are maybe similarities in some of the markings and whatnot, but it's a different language.
Mm. Well, it's not Egyptian. That's
so. Is it similar to the? To the ones on the statue?
No, it is not.
Okay.
The ones on the statue seem to be we're not the same.
Is that an unknown language on the statue?
It is.
Yeah.
Back in the day, we definitely had Connor looking at those and saying, "Oh, they don't look like any language I've seen before." And Connor has a certain amount of expertise in such things.
Whereas this is known, at least. I mean, there will be people back at the museum who could translate this for us. Does Teddy understand Sumerian?
You've never asked him.
Right, okay. He's definitely involved in this kind of archaeology, right?
he gave you the impression that this is an area he was interested in, other areas interested in. He definitely indicated that early on, I think, that his family's wealth that was bequeathed to him allowed him to explore all of his little hobbies.
Okay, so a bit of a dabbler rather than expert. Okay, got it.
Well, a dabbler who has all day to spend on dabbling is not necessarily that far off from being an expert. Just doesn't get paid for it.
I was going to say, I think you're onto something thinking about kind of club-wise, though, because someone at the club or at the museum, both either or could help us, depending on where we want to look. Wanted to look.
Yeah, we definitely have the contacts. So, and Noble said he had rubbins or copies of the actual text.
He did. Connor, go ahead and give me an idea roll.
Yes.
Okay. It occurs to you that you want to be careful about what you bring to the museum directly. Noble said he had people associated with the museum. Bringing a duplicate of a tablet that had been perhaps taken from the museum, as you know, this was not obtained through normal channels, might cause an unfortunate set of questions.
Yes, exactly. It makes my skin crawl handling it, just handling it and not having it in the museum.
And I did catch your you belong in a museum note.
Yeah. So.
Or it belongs in a museum.
Yeah.
There, just. Perfect. So go ahead, give me spot hidden rolls, Agatha and Kitty.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that is very good. That is 2 points away from the extreme. Hard success.
So I am in the fumble category, so do what you like with that.
Trip on some detritus and
distracted by a book or something.
Yeah.
Agatha, this you sort of look around and go, I don't know, maybe.
While we're writing it, this is how I would do it.
But, exactly. Maybe that's what you're distracted by, is trying to figure out. So. Yeah,
I'm writing a story.
Kitty, you're a little bit more diligent about all this. Looking at the windows and the door, there's no sign of tampering on either side. The paintwork is unmarked. There's no scratches near the door. With that almost extreme roll, I'll also give you the ceiling doesn't have any access points. There's no sort of opening into an attic or anything of that sort. And in fact, let's do this. Dame Agatha walking along sort of trips over a rug with her fumble. And there are stout and undamaged floorboards underneath the entire room.
Okay.
Noble will stand by the entrance as you sort of look around. At the point that you feel like you're sort of losing your steam, he will say, well, I'm happy to answer any other questions you have if you want.
I guess I'm curious, looking at the wallpaper, mm-hmm. And thinking maybe it won't be a spot hidden roll or something else, of what did this? If it was a tool, if the scratching through the wallpaper actually went much deeper to the, you know, and actually gouged into the wall, or if this was done sort of more, not carefully, but, you know, what sort of thing did this?
Yeah, give me a spot hidden roll.
I don't have anything better to offer you, but.
Okay. Oh, well, you can offer me something better if you want. You can give me an idea roll if you want. That's fine.
Well, that's definitely better.
Wow. That's simply a normal success on an idea roll.
All right. So you look around. You see that there's glass on the floor from these cabinets that were broken. There is a particularly sharp piece of glass sort of right near where it happened.
Plaster. Okay.
Cut into the, you got a little, so it got a little plaster at the end of it. Yeah.
Does it have any blood on the handle, quote unquote handle side?
No. And that is somewhat shocking.
Yeah,
because this is it's not like sharp at the end and super smooth at the thing. It's sharp all the way around. And yeah. Someone gouged into the wall, grabbed it, used it as a tool to tear into the wallpaper, and yet there's no blood from that enterprise.
Yeah, that's something. If only we had a big game hunter near us.
Yeah, I take it there's no sign. Well, is there any sign of footprints or movement around the room? I mean, other than just the chaos.
So there's definitely, you know, places where people have stepped, but it's hard to tell how much of that. I mean, Noble indicated that he had been in the room doing an inventory. It's hard to figure out, was that piece of plaster, you know, moved aside by Noble, or was it moved aside by whoever did this? But speaking of big game hunters, let's jump over to them for a bit. What is the collective lunch group doing after the detective thanks you for a lovely lunch? Definitely, Roger, he says, oh, any time you want to invite me to lunch, please do. This is a quite excellent food here. I can see why you're all members of this group.
Of course. It is always a pleasure, Detective Brinslow. Thank you for your assistance.
He will nod to each of you and make his exit.
Well, Mr. Nichols, I do think you should pay a visit to this pub this evening. And find this constable.
I think it sounds like a fun idea.
Yeah. Good plan.
I will raise my eyebrows slightly at the idea of Mrs. Throckmorton going to a common pub, but...
But certainly not a problem to do so.
Well, who's for dessert?
Oh, yes, the gooseberry pie is excellent.
So I'm going to do that thing where more or less all the time works out that we'll zip ahead a little bit for Maud and Oswald to go to the pub. What is your plan there? You're just sort of watching the front door to see who walks in.
I mean, we could always just. Yeah, is there what else nearby? Is there any other establishment where we could post up and just watch?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's undoubtedly a little cafe nearby. There's a restaurant. Yeah, whatever you want is fine.
Probably a little easier for us to blend in at a cafe.
That sounds like he's a drinker. We could probably just stand him a few. And what do you think?
I guess we should see if he's with anyone or meeting anyone.
So around 5 o'clock or so pops up. You sort of are watching between the local station and the pub. Just around 5, a large man with a large nose walks out of the station, and it's a direct beeline to the pub.
All right. Well, maybe we wait a little bit and catch him as he's coming out, if he's sufficiently schmammered.
Oh, you're going to wait for him to come out? That's fine.
He might be in there a while, don't you think, Oswald? If we are buying, he's more likely to maybe loosen up.
Yeah. So, how do you want to play it? I got some cash if you want to be the wealthy heiress.
I wink and say, well, let's just see how it goes. I don't know.
All right.
Plan.
Sure. Let's head on over. We'll see if he's at the bar. We can maybe try and squeeze in next to him.
He's absolutely at the bar. He is sitting at the bar itself on a stool. He is making conversation with the bartender. It is clear that they have a long and abiding relationship with each other. And he has got a pint in front of him, sort of reaching down near the bottom, and you can tell the bartender is talking to him while preparing another pint to be placed.
Is there seats open next to him?
There are.
Perfect. We will go sit down next to them and wait to order, I'm guessing, 2 pints?
Yes.
What are you? Yeah? Oh, all right. Mod's a beer drinker. All right.
Mod's a beer drinker. Is he still in his uniform?
He is exactly as the picture shows him, in his uniform, yes.
Oh.
Not too bad looking, Maud.
I can work with it.
I guess let's just, we'll just start order our drinks, have our drinks, and, maybe work in talking to him organically.
Good evening, Constable.
Yes, good evening.
Oh, yes. Had a long day of catching criminals?
Oh, didn't catch anything today, but we're on it. Don't you worry. We'll keep the streets safe for you.
Are we in near where the crime took place?
Yeah. Well, you're in the same general part of the city. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Same precinct. Yep. Or whatever.
I mean, you're not near in the sense of there's no way that the police station is near the affluent neighborhood where it happened, but you're geographically in the general neck of the woods.
Huh. Yeah. Lots of murders going around lately.
Ooh.
Oh, didn't I? Yeah. Go ahead.
No, he just sort of makes a general nod of noise, either affirming or denying.
I heard of something rather brutal. A beating, wasn't it, Oswald?
Yes. Beaten to a pulp.
You wouldn't know anything about that, would you, officer?
How are you enticing him to have this conversation? Is this a charm? Is this a persuade?
This is a buy the next round.
Yes, associated with what social role from one or both of you?
Let me see here. I think probably...
We're thinking it's probably fast talk, charm, or persuade, and given the leadingness of the question, I would think charm or persuade would be the most appropriate.
Yeah, I could try a charm roll. Sure, let's try. 97 is not gonna do that.
I got an ought 5.
What's your charm, by the way?
Mine is an 18, so that is just an extreme.
Hilarious.
That is hilarious.
So, yes, Oswald, you definitely try to sort of do the, manly man conversation thing, but he is much, much more interested in Maud's advances.
Surprise, surprise.
Yes, who could imagine something like that would have happened? He's... And he says, the murder there. Oh, yes. We're looking diligently into that, ma'am. Don't you worry.
I mean, it's good to know that strong policemen like you are on the job, but it did sound like it was quite brutal, and do you know if there's been any witnesses?
No witnesses. It's nobody happened to be out. It happened late at night.
Something about it.
Oh, yes. He sort of puffs up a bit at this. And by this time, his second beer has disappeared and the third has appeared in front of him. You get the sense that the bartender likes having a cop around during the day and during the evening. Doesn't mind paying a little bit in terms of alcohol to keep him around. Well, yes, we had a patrolman was walking through the neighborhood. He went through there maybe 10:30 or so, and then was walking back again around midnight when he found the body. It's somewhere in that range of time it happened.
And nothing else on the street. How strange. Just a brutal beating and
oh, sorry, I have to retcon a little bit that it what he'll tell you is that it happened somewhere between midnight and 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, and it's late for that neighborhood. What was the poor victim doing there? Are they a resident?
Oh, sorry, I got a retcon again. So, no, it happened between 11 and 12. It's in the newspaper. So, no, that's a very quiet neighborhood. Everybody was home in bed during that time period.
But so what was this person doing there?
Well, apparently they were out just for a walk.
Really? At that time of the night?
Well, it's been known to happen. Yes, his family reports that he enjoyed the walking around at night just for the quiet of it all. It's sort of ironic given what happened. But it's been a somewhat active neighborhood lately. There's been a number of assaults around there.
For such an upscale neighborhood, that's concerning.
Yes.
I agree.
Any burglaries?
It's funny you should mention that. There are a couple of burglaries in and around that area.
Yeah, there's been a couple around where some things have been taken. Seems like collectors.
Oh?
Right, because, what's his name? The other guy, Brightman, wasn't it?
Brightman did.
Oh, yes,
Brightman,
that was in the summer.
Yes. Brightman doesn't live in this neighborhood.
No, but just kind of around in general,
sure.
I mean.
Yep. Well, yes, every now and then there are such things.
I'll put my hand on his arm, and I'm just like, was there a pattern? Are you sleuthing out some foul crime spree or something?
He gets extremely nervous about your hand there. You get the sense that, like, he's more of a guy, and a woman lightly putting her hand on there. Go ahead and give me another, actually give me a credit rating roll.
Okay. No.
Ma'am, and he sort of draws away from your hand. I'm an officer of the law. I don't know if you're, you're quite, fetching.
I'm just very interested. I will, pull back a little.
Yes. Well, I can tell you we're looking into this. We're definitely trying to figure out if there's some connection between them.
I look at Oswald.
Yeah, I don't have much else to give him. Well, good luck, officer.
Go ahead and give me another charm roll or whatever you want to use, both of you.
I did fail, but I could burn. I have to burn 12.
Give me 1 second. No. Nope, that's a fail. Just a fail for me.
All right, I'll burn the luck and
hope I'm not leading you astray.
Yeah,
that's always a risk. As you start to get up, Maud, he sort of, it's not a panicked look, but he, I can tell you a story about a ghost.
A ghost?
Sort of wakes you both to sit back down again. He's like, yeah. Well, the thing about these assaults that's not out in the paper yet is that, that nobody who's seen, sometimes people have seen the assault happening, and they say they can't give a description of the attacker. They say that it looks like a ghost or a shadow of some sort attacking them. Well, most of these can be written off as maybe too much booze or just trying to have a story, but there's a couple of stories there where people are, quite reliable sources. A couple of eyewitnesses. There was a couple of assaults near the British Museum, where people are sure they saw something, a dark presence of some sort, doing the assaults.
Wow.
Interesting. I don't take any stock in that kind of mumbo jumbo, though. Do you?
I push him aside. I think that the world is a broader place than we'll ever know. Have you seen one of these assaults?
Oh, I've talked to the victims, and they seem reliable. But I haven't been able to see one myself. It just seemed to happen, sporadically or accidentally even. It's hard to tell.
And even near the British Museum.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are they always at night, or?
They are always at night, yes. That's what led to some of my fellow officers thinking it's just people couldn't see in the dark and were making things up. But I don't. I've talked to them. These people seem reliable.
Indeed. Oh my. Well, people out at night at the museum, like workers.
Yes, yes.
Oh, it
well,
is
not necessarily at the museum. I mean, one of them is works at the museum. The other one is just a legal clerk.
Ew. Trying to decide how I can get names.
You did roll an extreme
earlier. We had a good friend who worked at the museum who, well, I mean, they would have been there during the day. But still, it wouldn't have been Mr. Longton, would it?
No, no, it's McLaughlin, Alfie McLaughlin. He's actually at St. Mary's Hospital in Paddington right now.
Oh, well, at least it's... Oh, well, I'm...
That's a familiar hospital to you, Maud.
Yes. Noting down the name, Alfie.
Let's jump back to the other half of the group. The noble residence. Named Agatha has left suddenly. Actually, let me stop here. Roger, is there anything you wanted to be doing during the day?
I don't think so, no.
All right. Sit and contemplate. Perfect. Then let's go to the others at Andrew Noble's house. Is there anything you wish to be doing? Questions you wish to ask?
Muted. So the summary basically is he got these tablets. Mm-hmm. When was the timeline for that?
He'll tell you that he got them within the last month.
This month. And what about any acquisitions? Oh, yeah, other acquisitions. Is that the most recent? Well, it's clearly the most recent thing, but was there anything else? I'm sort of thinking about statues, things like that.
He has gotten some other items. They are Egyptian statues are, you know, are interesting, but not nothing reminds you of the one that you have. Seem like much more ones you would just see in a museum. Connor, anything you wish to ask while you're there?
I can't think of anything in particular. I'm sure I'll have to come back. not right now.
So I'm wondering about the digging site. So it seems to be active still, right? Because they're still pulling stuff out of it.
No, no. So there was a large shipment of things that were taken from the 1919 expedition. They arrived at the museum and were basically put into storage, and they've slowly been sort of pulling them out. You get the sense that, like, they were pulled out, and they and I'll just say that, you know, at some point in your conversation with Thompson, he would have sort of suggested to you that there was a thought that because of the politics involved, maybe they shouldn't be sort of throwing out these, you know, artifacts taken from Iraq. And so that they basically sat in a supply area for an extended period of time. It's only recently over this year, they started opening up and curators are looking at them and cataloging and that sort of thing. But there's no new things. It's just people have opened up the areas for the first time.
All right. Okay. We have the writing, right? Even though we cannot make any sense out of it.
Yeah.
Is this something we can borrow?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Here you go.
All right. So, yeah, I'll take this with me.
Okay.
And I'll try to find out what it means, and I'll get back to you. I'll say to, what's his name?
Noble.
Mr. Noble. Yes.
Can I date this thing? I mean, it all looks like it's from about generally the same time as like the statue that we have and whatnot. Is that correct? Because it's from the same dig.
I mean, in a larger temporal sense, yes, they're all from the same time period.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to sort of really sort of look at what was going on. They're, you know, they all seem to be from the same area, the same time period. None of them seem to be, you know, like there's no sort of, and I'll use the word modern with quotation marks around it. There's no Latin, for example, that would indicate that, like, oh, well, this is out of time whack. Something got put back in later. I don't know if that helps.
Yeah, I mean, this is from like the same period. The way they were using tools in this point, and the way they were making these markings. Blah blah blah.
Absolutely, and at some point, someone did some research. I think you sort of realized that the leader of the Assyrian Empire before it sort of collapsed made a big point of making the library. That's sort of common knowledge to you all.
Mm-hmm.
That the leader sort of said all the writings. We need copies of all the writings. We need all copies of all the good things. Just bring them all here. And so that's why at Nineveh was sort of at one point the capital of the Assyrian Empire, and not only that, sort of the capital of, you know, intellectual knowledge of that time period.
Gotcha, yeah.
Some point, Noble will say, "Well, I appreciate your efforts here. I'm happy to make myself available whenever you want. I've delayed my trip to Paris until this is all. I feel more comfortable with what's going on here, but I'm happy. I'd like to offer you all a reward. You can find out who did this. £500, which at this time period is a sizable amount of money." Your friend is too strong a word. I have a fellow collector, Matthew Smiley. Know that he experienced a similar sort of break-in. Perhaps he has information.
locked room as well?
I'm not sure of the details of his situation, but that's my assumption. And you will recall that Teddy did make some mention of having a couple of friends who had break-ins.
Yeah.
Yes, and he will write down the address. It's in Mayfair, which is central London. Anything else I can provide for you in terms of information?
Is there anything else you can think that's particularly pertinent that we haven't discussed?
Nothing comes to mind. But again, I'm here if you need me, and you will stand up and say, "With him here, we'll escort you out."
Okay.
Leave, and
can I make a psychology roll on the time that we have been talking to him?
Absolutely.
Oh, this is actually a hard success. I just want to get. Try to understand if he is a little bit maybe affected by this, you know, like crazy eyes or the way he talks.
Extraordinary. You get the sense from sort of spending some time with him that the bags under his eyes are more from sort of concern and over this distress. This all happened within the last couple of days. With that role, you are sure that he definitely wants the culprit caught. He definitely is offering you money to catch the culprit. But more than that, he's looking for you all to be discreet. Multiple times as you talk to him, he would say things like, "Well, you know, we of course can't bring the police involved, get the police involved. And, well, you know, I'm relying on your keeping this matter between us." And so that seems his primary motivation is not having, like, he's definitely torn up over the loss of his collection. He would love to get revenge, but he doesn't want to get revenge and have to sort of answer things to the authorities and maybe more importantly to the press.
Okay.
And I think with that, we'll call the session.